الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we have been talking for the last 2 days about two things. One is earning assets and the second one was net worth. And today I want to talk about the third of aspects of this, which is appreciating and depreciating assets. Like I said yesterday, in terms of net worth is what is left after you do the sums, which is after you subtract your liabilities from your assets. If all your assets are liquidated to pay for your liabilities, what is left is your net worth. And therefore, if you have assets, you might have assets of different kinds. One is you have assets which are assets in themselves, but they are assets which do not appreciate, or which do not appreciate at a fast rate. So you have assets which are assets, but like, for example, in many countries, some of my clients, for example, have or used to have large land holdings. Now, on the face of it, yes, you own so much of land, but land value in that country is very low. So that's not necessarily, it's not really an asset, it's, your money is locked up there. In some other cases, you might have, you might own a, you know, warehouse or whatever, but what it gives you is practically nothing, because rental values are very poor. So you might have assets which don't really appreciate. You also have assets which actually depreciate, so which is of course all kinds of consumer stuff which always depreciates. So it's a given thing. Any amount of money you spend in any consumer stuff, you know, cars and this and that, always depreciates. Also, another interesting thing is, for example, jewelry. Now, many people put money into jewelry, where they have jewelry which has a lot of stones in it, you know, different kinds of. But the reality of most jewelry and most precious stones is that, except for diamonds, practically nothing appreciates in value. So you spend some money to buy the jewelry, but when you want to go and sell it at any point in time, you always get less than what you paid for it. So it actually depreciates. If you get the same money, and again, if you get the same money, also it has depreciated, because money value over time has gone down. So if you paid 100,000 for it, 10 years ago, you get the same 100,000. You're actually not getting 100,000. You're getting 100,000 in today's value, which is far less than what it was in the previous times. Take also, for example, rental values in this country. The average rental that you can get on a, for example, an apartment. You have an apartment which you pay 10 million for it, you know, 1 crore. If you get about 10% of that annually as rent, you are lucky. 10 to 12% is what you will get. Now, 12% means what? Mahine ko lakh rupaye to 12 lakh rupaye milte. That's 12%, right? So 12 lakhs, 100,000 rupees per month, which is 1.2 million, which is 12%. Now, the point is that inflation alone in this country is at least 15%. So actually, your rental value is not even covering inflation. And if you take the value of money which is depreciating and factor that in also, then your rent is, you are not making any money at all. You are actually losing money on that. So when I had an apartment which I kept locked up for several years, people told me, you are losing money. I said, no, I am getting money, because if I rented it out, I would be losing money. Here I am getting money because I am just getting appreciation on the value of it, but you know, without indulging in this other game. And then of course the whole issue of in our country of people who rent and all that they do and so on. The reason I'm saying all of this is because two kinds of assets, appreciating assets and depreciating assets. Same thing applies in the akhirah, and that's the whole point of this, which is we have appreciating assets and we have depreciating assets. Appreciating assets, for example, the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in Baihaqi and Ibn Majah, where Rasulullah said that among what continues to accrue for a believer, which means what he continues to gain after his death, are the following: knowledge that he learnt and then imparted to others, this continues to appreciate, because then whatever they do which is beneficial comes back to him. A pious child or children whom he left behind, so they make dua for him. A copy of the Quran which he bequeathed, so he gave it to people or they read from it. A masjid that he built, a guest house he built for travelers, a river that he made to flow, any kind of water, wells and so on, or any kind of charity that he spends from his wealth when he is in good health. All of this continues to avail him after his death. So here we have a good example of what are appreciating assets. You do something once and the value of that continues to go into your account, not only while you are alive but even after you die, as long as that thing remains. You build a masjid, it gives you reward after reward after reward. As long as it is there on the face of the earth, you will get rewards for this masjid. And those rewards depend, rewards of people making salah, etikaf and durus and this and that. Whatever is happening, all of that comes to you. And how much effort did you make? Just once. You just built that masjid, or you did whatever it was to help it to be built. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very generous. So somebody might build a masjid, somebody might give permission for the masjid to be built, that's it. So the man did not even spend one cent, but he owned the land, or maybe he was a government official who had to give a permission or something, so he gave the permission. That's it. He did not spend one cent. He never prayed in the masjid also. But he also will benefit from that masjid as long as the masjid is there, even though somebody else built the masjid because of what the person did. Then while the masjid is being built, you have a laborer who is working for a salary, is working for a daily wage, he comes and, you know, builds the masjid, the mason, the person carrying the bricks and sand on his head, everybody gets a benefit from that masjid, inshallah, as long as that masjid is there. Now, this is a huge, huge, huge earning asset. And similarly, other things, you know, hospitals and digging wells and guest houses and all kinds of, Islam is very, very, Allah is very generous with this. Any kind of thing that you do which benefits people. Rasulullah said, to the extent that if you plant a seed and a tree grows and it has fruit and birds feed from that fruit, you will get the reward of this in your qabr after you die. Imagine, all the man did was plant one seed. What? How much does it cost? One seed. And that seed sprouted fruit tree, birds are feeding, not even people. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the person will get the benefit from this. Now what about depreciating assets? You might say, well, why would anyone have depreciating assets? Believe me, this entire economy runs on depreciating assets, not on depreciating assets. The entire shopping is what? Depreciating assets. So people do a lot of nonsense stuff in life, in this life and also in the next life. Now about masajid especially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, for those who destroy a masjid or who in any way adversely affect or try to adversely affect. Imagine, one is, how unfortunate is that person who tries to do something wrong, does not even succeed, but he gets the evil of that because he tried. And how fortunate is somebody who tries to do something good, does not succeed, but he gets the benefit of having tried. Yeah, so it's very important to also think about what are you trying to do. And don't worry about if you didn't succeed. That's okay. Allah didn't ask you to succeed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, make the effort. Because we get discouraged. Oh, I did all this for so long, nothing happened. Who cares? Let nothing happen. Your job is to work, you work. Khalas. You don't worry about what happened, what didn't happen. But make sure you do the right thing. Because if you do the wrong thing, then it backfires in your face big time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly announced the fate of people, and this is specific to masajid, specific to those who prevent Allah's worship from happening. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 114, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ. Allah is asking a question, who is a bigger zalim
وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا أُولَئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who is more zalim, who is more unjust than those who forbid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name be glorified and mentioned much, which is zikr and durus and so on, in Allah's masajid specifically, and strives for their ruin. He strives to shut down the masjid, strives to ruin the masjid. Allah says, who is more zalim than such a person? Allah says, it is not fitting that such people should themselves even enter the masjid of Allah, except in fear. For them, there is disgrace in this world, and they will have a great torment in the hereafter. Allah is promising azab for people who do this. Imagine, this is the wa'da of azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for somebody who tries to affect a masjid adversely. Whether they succeed or not is immaterial. You tried, therefore you will burn in the hellfire. Similarly, other depreciating assets. For example, one of the greatest one is our social life. May Allah protect us. We sit and we do ghibat of people. This is a depreciating asset. You said something and that will keep earning rewards for you for Jahannam as long as it floats around in space. Yeah, the famous hadith, and I don't have time now to talk about in detail. I've mentioned this many times before. The hadith of the people, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked, who are the destitute of the people in the Akhirah? And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, they are the people who have no dirham and dinar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, these are the people who have depreciating assets. He didn't use that term, but what it means, he said, they are the people who will come to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala with good deeds, the size of the mountain of Uhud, but they will have done injustice to so many people that all of that will disappear, because that will be given to the people to whom they were unjust, and then they will go into the hellfire carrying the evil deeds of those people who they were unjust to. Now imagine, I always thought, how can good deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud disappear, until I discovered email. And then until I discovered WhatsApp. Now think about that. One message that you send, whether it's email, whether it's WhatsApp and so on, it's eternal. That thing is eternal. Now, we are not eternal, that message is eternal. As long as that message floats, and you know and I know how many times we get the same message, you know, like I've been getting some messages over and over for the last 10 years or more, right? Same message is floating around. Now, as long as that message is floating around, whoever sent that message out is getting reward for it or is getting evil for it. Now, this is a depreciating asset, big time. And there may be others, we ask Allah to protect us from those. But I'm saying, very important for us, like we do and your asset analysis as far as your worldly wealth is concerned, and you take out your depreciating assets, you remove them, your appreciating assets, you assess them and say, which are appreciating fast, let me put my maximum stuff in that, which appreciates fast. And then you also say, which are more stable assets and which are not so stable, you analyze them for liquidity. Similarly, we need to do that with our amal, with our deeds, and say, which are my assets in my deeds, which are appreciating assets, which are depreciating assets, get rid of them, which are appreciating assets, maximize them, because there's no return that is better than the return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. The beauty is that even if this is not true for the dunya, but for the akhirah, even if you have some bad stuff in your life, as long as you are alive, as long as you make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe it out and convert it into good deeds. Now imagine, you spent your life doing some evil nonsense, but if you make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reverts it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala converts that into good deeds. Choice is ours, whether we want that or we want to die with that bad, because once you die, there is no return from that position. That's very, very clear. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.